And was it that you came to Burbank?
We came in February 1960.
And where did you come from?
We came from Kirbythor, which was in the Eden Valley.
Right.
My husband, he was on farm work, and we needed to find another house because we were in a tied house. So he had a chance of a job up here, so we came up here to live. He came onto the building side on for the Manchester Corporation. I think it was his parents, really, that thought he would like to come up here to work. So there was a job going, so we came. And as I say, we had two boys. One was only 6 months old, and the other one was just over a year old when we came up. Well, not a year old, 18 months old. And anyway, this house was vacant, so we came here. And we've been here ever since.
And where did George's parents live?
George's parents lived right opposite here, at number one, the Oaks. They came and lived there in 1946. They've always lived in the village, of course, since the village was built. George was born in number 42, and from number 42 they moved to 63, and then from 63 they moved to the Oaks, one Burnbanks. Well, they came into a one-bedroomed house to start with, which was first built. From there they built the other ones, which were bigger, so they were moved with having the two boys, because the two boys were born here in the village. And then number one, the Oaks, came vacant, and it had plenty of ground, and George's dad wanted to keep hens, and he kept bees. So the Manchester Corporation let them move across to the Oaks, which they were there until, well, they passed away, really, so they'd been there a lot of years.
What were their names?
George and Olive Hindmarch. Yes, and George's mum used to teach in the mission, Sunday school, up till 1940. After that, I think it was Bampton Methodist Chapel. Everybody seemed to go to the chapel from up here. It was quite a busy place in those days. And George's dad, he worked on the tunnel, which was up Swindale. He used to bike up there every day to the little outfall up at Swindale and keep that clean and what have you.
And you had a third child?
Yes, Christine was born in 1962. She was born at home here, and in those days you got a home help. And she just did the sort of bare necessaries, but my mother-in-law lived across the road, and she came along and helped in between, which was grand, really. Our doctor used to come round quite often, once a week visiting.
Where was the doctor from?
Sharp, yes. It was Dr. Judson from Sharp used to come, yes. And also we had a district nurse who used to come visiting quite often. When Christine was born, the district nurse lived at Askham. When the kids got a bit older, yes, they went to play school at Bampton. And then from there, they went on to the village school. They got transport. John Bonus used to come with his minibus. I think the Manchester Corporation would... how do I put it? Give him
some subsidy,
yes, for running the minibus. Yes. So we didn't have to pay anything for the children going to school, which was good, really. Right, from there...
They went to play school to start with.
They went to play school to start with. The play school used to be in the village hall in those days, and it was quite a big play school.
Did you have to stay with
your parents? No, not really. No, yes, dropped them off, and because there were people to help. I started work at school cooking in 1969. course the children were at school by this time. I was there for what, 22 years. When I first started there, there were about 58 kids, because there were quite a lot living up here. Then all the houses was full of children, so it was quite a busy little community up here.
What else was here at that time? Because in the beginning there had been shops and all sorts of things here.
Yeah, there was nothing. Just houses, except we had a post office next door, but only a post office, nothing else, no sweeties or anything. She probably sold a few cigarettes, maybe, but that was all. But the works yard was across the road there in the corner, by the garages, and that's where all the men used to start work, because there was a joiner's shop, there was a blacksmith shop, there was a painter's shop. There was everybody, you know, and my husband, well, he used to sort of go out to the outlying farms, do repairs and that, sort of alterations and building work. But to say that, and there was also a timekeeper over there where they had to clock in and clock out of the night. And then there was the man that lived next door, Tim Scott, he used to go up and to the dam and look after the dam and see everything was all right in there, because there used to be a lot of things in the dam in them days. I think it's all gone now, you know, because there's the pumping station across the way.
Were there any mobile shops or anything else?
Yes, we were well looked after with mobile shops, butchers. There was Norman Douglas from Penrith, and there was Bill Hudson used to come from Helton. He had a mobile shop.
Were these just grocery shops?
Groceries, and they used to carry bread as well, yes. We used to get the Co-op milk van coming from Shap. And in those days, we used to buy little plastic discs, and we bought them on a Saturday, and we used to put them out every day for our milk, and that was like our payment rather than putting out cash every day. We bought these little packets of discs, plastic discs, so that was for our milk every day. We had quite a good service really with vans and that. What else did we have? We had a butcher, yes. That was Jackson's from Penrith, Jackson's Butchers. We also had a man came around selling shoes. That was from Penrith, Pearson's Shoe Shop. It isn't there anymore now. They used to come round and with a van load of shoes, and you could buy shoes and slippers.
So if you wanted anything else, you'd have to go to...
Yes, to do the shopping at Shop. And then sort of quite a few years ago, when the vans were, I think it was getting a bit expensive for the vans coming up here, and as I say, Birkett's always came up. It came up for years, and of course it still comes, but it's been taken over by another lad now. But saying that, I used to ring up Shop, and they used to deliver the groceries, which I think they still do to some places. Yes, the corporate shop, yes. And then, there was the clothier used to come round. They called them Farers, Henry Farer from Shop. He used to come round with clothes and, cases with clothes in, and for kids and grown-ups and that. And he had quite a little good shop up at Shop. I wasn't really here when... there was the village store and the paper shop up here. They'd all gone when we came up here to live. But saying that, I mean, we were one of the first really to get a car among the young ones up here, because we used to have to transport the kids to discos when they got a bit older, and take them and then bring them back, go and collect them. There was a Morris 8. It was a Morris 8 we had, yes. And what else did we do? We used to go and help on the discos down at Bampton, because in the village hall, yes. Yes, we used to go and help on the discos. Going back when our lads were teenagers. Not really. It was just more or less, you know, chapels, and they had functions at the chapel, which we used to go to, you know, such as they used to get singers and make suppers and that. And other than that, there used to be maybe just concerts at Village Hall down at Bampton. There would be, they used to have pantomimes and that up here. They used to have pantomimes at the Village Hall of Bampton, yes. But maybe not as many when our kids were smaller, you know. I think it used to be more, there was a Bampton Players, and they were for grown-ups, of course. What else can I tell you about?
So tell me about the neighbours then. Was there a
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, people were very friendly up here. I mean, in those days you could leave your door open and wander up the village and have a chat to your neighbours. And of course, mother-in-law across the road, every afternoon she just used to lock her back door and wander across and sit out here with Mrs. Scott next door and have a couple of hours chinwag. And any passing people, you know, they used to stop and say hello and probably have a cup of tea, and then I often used to wander up the village to Mrs. Dawson, who was Louis Easton then, before she married Joe Dawson, and I used to sort of go and crack to her because she was rather blind, and I used to go and have, you know, spend a little bit of time with her because she lived on her own. And then there was the Buckles that lived up the village. I used to go and see the Buckles, Mr. and Mrs. Buckle. They were elderly people because they moved from Swindle. They retired from farming. And they came up here to live in the 60s. They came up here. And, of course, there was Mrs. Hollider across the road there. She used to go off to... She was cook at the school. She would start in 1957. And she cooked at school for 24 years and biked to school. I did for a little while go and work at Hunger Hill. Christine, I think, was only about 3 or 4 years old, and George's mum used to look after Christine, and I just went one day a week. It was just to make a little bit of cash, you know. And I used to go on my push bike, all weathers, and I used to leave my bike at Mrs. Bowman's at Gatefoot and used to walk up to Hunger Hill. And as I say, George's mum used to look after Christine. Of course, by that time, you see, the boys were at school.
When you moved here, everyone who lived at Runabouts would have had some connection with the dam or the water.
Yes, yeah. Yes, because the plumber and the painters and everybody lived in the village, you see. There were the builders as well, the people that were builders that sort of, you know, went out onto the farm. They didn't all work just here. They used to travel out, you see, and do the farms and that up. But they all lived in the village, the painters. The blacksmith, of course, was Audrey Parkin's dad, Alec Little. He did bike up from Bampton. He was the blacksmith. So he didn't live in the village, but I mean the painters and the decorators and, as I say, the joiners, they all lived in the village. But they went out onto the farms and various places, and anything that belonged to the Manchester Corporation, they used to go and maintain it in those days. And you see, my husband, he used to, well, he went from the building side, he went over onto the water side for a little while. And he used to get transport down to Bampton, and then he used to go through, there's a footpath goes through by Rita Brennan's, just at Con Cottage there, and it used to go up to the go up the house to the house, yeah, to Cardale, because there's a little water house up there. He used to look after that, and then he used to go through the water line right through to Heltondale and keep all the gutters clean, so that it kept the water to run into the dam. But today they don't bother, you see. No.
So when you moved here, the people within the different trades that you've described, where do you think they came from? Have they come from all over the country to do these jobs, or were they kind of local?
Some of them did come from a little bit away. The one of the joiners came from out of Lancashire, and one of the plumbers came from out of Lancashire. So probably it would be through such as the United Utilities, maybe been connected to Preston and Warrington, and they were offered jobs up here, you see, and there would be a house with a job, so they would take it. And of course they had families that went to school as well. And but you see, when the job was not finished up here, it all went to contractors, you know, and so of course they moved away. Two other jobs. One lad that came from Lancashire, he went to Carlisle, and he's still on the water for the water board. Well, it's United Utilities now. So he went to Carlisle, and the other lad went back to Preston.
So was there just a slow decline in the number of people after you moved here gradually?
Yes, there were fewer and fewer people, and you see, such as the Horsewater Hotel, well, they had a man up here that used to transport all the staff from a shop by Land Rover and take the maids and the daily workers, transport them from shop up to the Horsewater Hotel, and that was his job. He used to just transport people about. And of course, you see, he died and his wife were able to stay in the village. Anybody, you know, that sort of passed away, the wives or the husbands weren't, you know, pushed out of their houses. They were able to stay in. But once, you see, the widows or the widowers died, of course, they didn't let the houses, and they just let them go down, which was a shame, really. But of course, there was no work then, you see. All the work had gone. But George's mum, when she lived across the road there, I mean, she still has her old-fashioned fire grating, you know, with the oven on the side, which she baked in till up till the last. And she used to, it used to be gingerbread and sponge cake, baking day on a Wednesday. And it was always a sponge cake and a gingerbread and rock buns and scones once a week. And of course, she still has in that house across there the old set pot boiler, which she used to boil the clothes in. Well, you fill it full of water and boil the clothes in, and keep stoking it up underneath with the sticks and that.
Would there be a mangle or something like that?
She had an old mangle that she had outside that she used to take the clothes out, you see, to mangle them. Yes, it was hard work, yes. And her and George's mum and Mrs. Scott next door, they used to go sticking into the wood there behind to get the sticks for stoking up the boilers. And she did finally get an electric washer in the end, you know, that sort of thing. But as I say, they got by, and they didn't... Of course, George's mother was one of these that, you know, if a halfpenny, she wouldn't spend a penny if a halfpenny would do. But of course, it was how the wages weren't very big in them days, and it's how they were brought up. And say, George's dad, you see, he lived up Mardale before he came down here, but he lived with his sister and husband because they farmed up at Grove Bray, up Mardale. And George's dad used to work the horses for his brother-in-law when they were building the road, and he was a rock driller as well. So of course, you see, George's mum, well, she worked at the Carlton Hotel in Penrith, so they must have got together when there was dances up here.
Was she from Penrith?
Yeah, well, she was from Newbig in Temple, Newbig in Stainton. Yes, Newbig in Stainton, and probably dances up here where they got together.
People used to come from that far?
Yes, they did, up to the dances and Penrith, yes. Oh, yes, because now you hear of people when the golden weddings or the passing away, the Met at the dance hall at Burnbank. So, I mean, it was a really, really popular place for people. And so, of course, when they first got married, you see, they lived on Chapel Hill of Mardale, and then they started building these houses, and this is why they got the one-bedroomed house, which was up in the woods, which has gone. But they started to take those down, you see, when they moved into here, behind us, on into number 63, because, as I said, the two boys had been born up there, and there wasn't room for them. So, George and Jeff. And his brother Jeff, yeah. See, there was only a year between the two boys, so there wasn't very much between those two. So Jeff went off to be a mechanic after he left school, and George's mum wanted George to be a joiner, and he didn't want to, so he went to farm work, which was in the Eden Valley. And of course, that's where I met up with George, because I came from over Bolton near Appleby. So we met in 1951, got married in 55, and as I say, we came up. George was born in 1958, David in 1959, and we came up here in 1960. And Christine was born in
1962. What was your first impression of him? Had you been to
Burnbank before? Well, I'd known George since 1951, I'd known George, so I was coming back and forth then, you see.
Had it changed much in the 10 years in between?
Not really. It was just that there wasn't, you know, there was quite a lot of people when we came up here. But saying that, people gradually moved away, you see, when the work finished, and of course it was all let out to contractors. But you see, George worked with Manchester Corporation, then it was the United Utilities, and then now you see it's... it was North West Water, yes. Yes, well, really, we've just really kept it nicely decorated. We haven't done really a lot of alterations to it at all, because, I mean, it was in fairly good condition when we came in. We did stay with George's mum for 3 weeks. Everything was piled in there when we came up here, because Huey Parkin and Audrey just moved out of here the day we moved in across the road, you see, so we needed to get floor coverings, and there wasn't a cooker or anything, and we needed to decorate, so we did that before we moved into here. But saying that, everything really wasn't in bad nick, you know, when we came in. We had no television, we just had a radio, one socket.
One socket
just in here, and just a square plug with a 13 amp for the cooker in the back kitchen. We hadn't a proper cooker box.
What sort of cooker?
We had little Bellin cooker. It was one of those on a stand, you know, the little oven at the top, and then there was a stand underneath. So that was our first cooker. And I think it was about maybe £25 or something like that.
And before that, like you were doing more, people would have cooked on the range.
Yes, yes. Coal.
Yes.
Oh, the coal man came. It was Taylor's from Penrith, and he came on the 15th of every month and never missed. And it was the 15th of the. And our coal man still now comes, and he's not far away from the 15th, and he still comes every month, which is good, really. The coal used to be kept in the coal house at the back here, and then we finally got a coal bunker on the back, which was a lot better, really, because we needed somewhere to put, you know, shoes and boots and Wellingtons and things like that. But everybody used to use their coal house inside the house when we sort of first came up here. And as I say, we got coal bunkers, so I mean, we put the coal outside.
There obviously was electricity then.
There was electricity, yes, because, I mean, even in 1929, 1930, when they built the houses, there was electricity and running water and flush toilets and everything. So, I mean, you know, we were quite lucky, really. As I say, when we came up here, we had choice of two houses, we had choice of this one, and we also had choice of number 61 up the back here. And we chose this one here. Well, we thought it was in a nicer position than being stuck up there. But saying that, we didn't know how it was going to work out, you know, with living right across from your in-laws. But everything was fine, really. We did have our ups and downs, but we got on fairly well, really. Yes, yes, we did. Yes, yes. Well, George used to pop off to Helton in them days on a Saturday night with his dad for a drink. Well, he had his car then. Yeah, because we got our first car. He bought it off his brother when George was just a baby. So that would be in 1959, early 59 maybe, before David was born. So they used to pop off to Helton pub for a pint on a Saturday night. And then George's mum used to come across here and sit with me till they came back, just for company. And that went on for quite a number of years. We didn't go out very much. We maybe used to go to the Farmer's Ball at Bampton, and they would come and babysit for us. But we didn't really go out such a big lot. George used to go to my aunt and uncle's, who farmed at Knipe Hall, to do a bit of hay timing in his, you know, after finished work here, because their hours up here were from 8 o'clock till 4:30. So after he'd had his meal, he used to pop over at hay time and maybe other busy times and help my uncle over at Knipe Hall on the farm, and that was just to make a bit of extra cash, because he always used to like maybe to take us out of the weekend and the kids for a ride around, which we always used to. As I say, the wage was only about £11 a week when we first came up here.
And what was the rent?
The rent was, I think it was about 8 shillings, something like that. So, I mean, yes, yes. So it really wasn't, you know, a big lot.
Just the corporation was supposed to look after the house?
Yes, Manchester, yes, do all the repairs and that. We did actually get better service from Manchester Corporation than we have done since Northwest Water and United Utilities took over.
Are they very good about doing repairs? If anything needs to do, or is it a long wait?
No, we didn't get much. Well, there was a long wait, yes, from the United Utilities and Northwest Water. As I say, we were better looked after under Manchester Corporation.
I suppose they have the people to do the job.
Yes, yeah, that's right. Whereas after sort of United Utilities took over and that, you see, they got contractors in, and so therefore it wasn't as easy getting jobs done. I mean, this house here hasn't been painted for goodness knows how many years. They just weren't interested. So I mean, my son-in-law painted and tidied this up, and we keep it fairly tidy ourselves. My husband did the garden, yes. Well, we worked together as well, you know, the flower garden, and my husband always did the vegetable garden.
Did you grow enough to keep you?
Yes, yes, we did. We had used to always have cabbage and cauliflowers and peas, and we used to have carrots and potatoes, of course, was our main item. Oh, the garden was always done every year, and Brussels sprouts, yes, because we hadn't a freezer then, you see. We just had a little fridge with a little ice box at the top. We didn't have a freezer. We just had the fridge, so I mean, we couldn't freeze vegetables like you do today. Yes, yes, I used to make chutney and make my own jam, and I used to bottle tomatoes of all things, you know, sort of yes, I used to do a lot of things, and I always did my own baking. Never bought any cakes or anything like that in those days. It was all homemade, and my husband wouldn't eat bought stuff anyway.
So you used to keep a supply of food and ingredients in the larder?
Yes, because as I say, we just had to rely on the vans, you see, and probably maybe just once a week. So we had to have plenty of food in to last us. Of course, there was the village shop down at Bampton, which Mrs. Preston had going back a few years ago. Mrs. Preston, well, I think, I can't remember which year she came out of post office. No, I can't remember which year. I don't know whether it was 87. No, it was before that, maybe. I can't remember really quite. But anyway, Mrs. Preston, I mean, she had a wonderful shop because she used to cook her own ham. And you could buy it, you know, sort of buy half pounds or quarters or whatever. Yeah, she had a wonderful shop down there. And then, of course, it went downhill after that. I mean, the Frith's, they took over. You know, that's the mill now. And then Joan Bruin, she had the shop after that. But they couldn't really, after Joan tried to sell it, she couldn't, not as a going concern. So that was the shop finished. The only heating we had was the open fire. We had nothing else except the little fire grates in the two bedrooms there. Just very small fire grates in the bedrooms there. Nothing in this bedroom here. We just used to have electric fire in the back kitchen, which we sort of put on the morning or when we were having a meal, because we always sat at the table for a meal in the kitchen. We didn't come through here, and there was none of these plates on your knees, and of course we hadn't a television in those days. So of course we always ate in the back kitchen at the table for our meals. Yes. The table, well, it was a drop leaf table that we used to have, you see, because we needed to close it up for the room. To move about. sometimes we used to put the little fire on in that bedroom on the left there. If anybody was poorly or anything, you know, to sort of heat it up and that. And of course, often I used to put the fire on in the back bedroom as well, and that was just to keep the house warm. But just every now and again I used to do it, not every day. Just maybe at winter if it was hard frost. But after we came up here, we did have a bad winter where Manchester Corporation were very good again, went to Askham and brought milk and bread for the village and dished it out, which was, they always looked after the villagers.
How did they get through?
Well, Land Rovers. Right. Yes, they had Land Rovers, you see. And but we really didn't, after that, I don't think we really had, after 1960s, we didn't really have any bad winters up here. I did, for one fortnight, I think it was in the 70s, walk to school for a fortnight, because it wasn't really the quantity of snow there was on the roads. I was driving by that time. I passed my test in 1969, and so I was able to drive. But it wasn't the quantity of snow on the roads, it was because it was so slippery. And with it being such a narrow road down to Bampton, if you met anything, you hadn't much chance of sort of stopping. And I used to take the kids with us, and we used to walk down to the school and then walk back in the afternoons. And so, I mean, we always got by, you know. And the kids, I mean, they played football in the village and entertained themselves, and they always found something to do. Yes, there were quite a few, and they used to play football, and of course they used to have these tree swings, you know, whatever they call them. And up till just last year, there was one up in the woods there, and I used to take my grandchildren up, and they used to love to swing on it. Just put a bit of wood through the rope that hung down off a branch. And they used to have a tree house as well up in the trees up there, up the road. Of course, I mean, there wasn't the traffic up here then, like there is today, flying up and down. Because people, I think, since 1984, when Lake was low up here, they found this village, and they know that they leave the cars at the bottom and they walk up this side here, whereas at one time there was nobody you saw coming to the village. Right. Back to the house again.
After you've done the washing, describe the boiler sort of toilets.
Yes.
Presumably there was the same thing here when you were
doing. No, it had gone. It had gone. There was nothing here. When I came up here, I just had a... I used to hand wash before I came up here.
Everything.
Yes, hand wash. And then I had just a little washer, which had like an agitator in the middle and the mangle on the back. And that was my first washer after we came up here. And then after that, I got a twin tub washing machine. And I had that until last year, believe it or not. Well, not the same one, but a different one. And then, of course, they don't make them anymore, so I had to get myself an automatic. Yes.
You were describing earlier the hatch and the
airing cupboard. Yes, the airing cupboard is quite high up. So I had to stand on the armchair, put a leg on the hatch, and then reach up into the airing cupboard, which is quite high. In fact, it goes up to the ceiling. And I had to keep nappies and all the clothes in there, and the sheets and everything. The little cupboard in the back kitchen there, well, it did used to get warm with because there's the pipes going up through from the fire here. So it did get warm, so I mean, I could put a few clothes in there as well, but I mean, this was best up here. We didn't have an immersion heater, so of course the fire used to have to heat the water. Yes, so it used to have to heat the water, but we put our own immersion heater in as well.
When did you do that?
When did we do that? 19, maybe 80s. Yes, when we put the immersion heater in.
And you had to pay for that?
We paid for that ourselves as well, yes. In fact, Ray Brewing came and did it for us. Yeah, he did. And that was when Joan had the post office and Ray was working in Saudi Arabia, and he would come back over here and he came and did this job for us. Yeah, so...
And the hatch below the air, what was that for originally?
Well, I think it was just for passing I don't know, really, cups of tea or whatever through from the top of the set pot boiler, because there was a cover over the set pot boiler, and it was probably just for passing things through, because it was just a little door that opened and shut. As I say, across the road in number one, the Oaks, it's still there, is the little cupboard. Cupboard and also the set-top boiler. So that's quite original across there. Yes.
And you've got a new fire
sorry. Yes. Actually, it was. This was in when we came, this tiled fireplace. Huey Parkin and Audrey would have it put in. They would have the old fire range pulled out and. Manchester Corporation would put them in, and they had to pay about sixpence a week, I think, on the rent, and that was ongoing for years. It really never stopped, because by the time they bought the fire grate and paid for the labour, see, it would probably cost a bit in those days, so I mean, you were paying and paying and paying on your rent, so it really didn't often come to an end. So
any other improvements?
We got our own central heating in. That's been in about 11 years as the central heating, because we just felt that we needed extra warmth, and we decided that we needed central heating, so we got in touch with the water board to see if they would come to some terms with us, if we paid half and they paid half, or vice versa, or whatever. And anyway, they said, oh, see Mr. Whoever the maintenance man was, see him when he comes round and have a word with him. So this man came round and we had a word with him. And he said, oh, it has nothing to do with me. He says, get back in touch with the office. So, of course, my husband said, oh, I can't be bothered with this. So he says, we'll just put our own in. And that was how we got central heating in. So we've got it in all the rooms, really, now. Yes. We've got this one in the sitting room. And then we've got one in each bedroom. Also in the back bedroom and the back kitchen. So it keeps us nice and warm now.
You find it gets quite cold in
the winter. We find it does, yes, because even though the radiator is turned right up, we still had to put the open fire on, maybe late morning or early afternoon, because we find your legs get cold sitting. Yeah, but it warmer, your body's warmer up above, but you see, with the heat rising and the height of the ceilings and that, you see. But my husband always thought that they'd saved a row of timber by making them so high, but I don't know why he thought that. But no, I can feel my legs now sitting here getting cold, you know, and yet that radiator's on full. Yeah. So I always have me up. I wouldn't like to do away with me open fire, to be quite honest. But as I say, if the ceilings were lowered, it would make a big difference.
What about the windows?
Original windows, yes, yes.
Wooden frames?
Yes, yes. Those are the original. Yes, they have. Actually, the timber on these windows are far better than what they put on the houses today, because the houses that's been modernised, the two up here and the two up there, absolutely rotten, the woodwork, where ours, you know, it's far, far better timber. So, I mean, they've stood a good test of time. The only thing is, there may be foundation. They haven't proper foundations, these houses, because they were only built for so many years, you see. And they were going to dismantle them, and they were built on common land. This side was common land, and that side belonged to the United Utilities. That, yes, the other side of the road, sorry, yeah. That belonged to the North West Water and still does. And this was common land, which was the Lord of the Manors, Lord Lonsdale's, you see. So, but you can sort of see just above the door where they've put little bits of wood in, because the doors have sort of dropped a little bit with the foundations have moved. That one's the same, but you can't maybe tell that one quite as much, the bedroom doors. They've just sort of dropped a little. You see, with the foundations maybe sinking.
So what's the floor?
The floor's the wood here, but that bedroom there on the right at the front, and the one at the back, they were rotting. So of course they came and put that. It's like a dark. It was hot asphalt or something down. So it's like stonework, if you understand. I don't know what quite to call it, but it's like a maroony coloured thing, and it was hot when they laid it. But I mean, the boards were absolutely rotten in the back bedroom there, and they were starting to rot in there as well. But as I say, if they haven't a proper foundation, they were bound to deteriorate in time.
And what are the internal walls? Are they plastic?
Well, we call them Temtex panels, which is maybe compressed, like compressed wood, sawdust or whatever, compressed thing, and they're in panels. There's wooden frame in between, but not very thick, because I was a bit frightened next door with it being empty all these years that I might get damp through here. But saying that, when I stopped to think, well, there is air can get through between. So there's like a cavity with like framework. But of course the outer walls here on the front of the house, you see there's no cavity there, because I mean, as I say, there's these Tendex panels, and then we have the metal frame out, the metal panels outside. So I mean, there isn't any cavity, and I think this is why they're cold. Yeah.
So there wouldn't be a lot of soundproofing inside.
No, there wouldn't. No.
You could hear each other.
Yes. Yeah, you could hear, such as if we were in this front bedroom here and the people were in the next bedroom there, you could hear each other talking, or you could talk through the walls. As I say, George's mum and next door neighbour, they used to sit on toilet and talk to each other through the wall. Or you could hear people coughing, or if anybody lived next door and they had loud music or whatever, you could hear, you know, sort of right through and that. But as I say, they were only built temporary, and I mean, they've stood a good test of time. So, as I say, George has done a lot to our house, really, sort of to keep it in good order, really. Because outside, the foundations were moving a little bit, and so he went round with a sealer, you know, and sealed it all. But saying that, I mean, they're quite good, really, you know. Well, this is anyway. But once they're not lived in, they soon deteriorate, which you can see by the other empty houses here in the village. No, I can't really. No, I like living here, and I really don't want to move. The thing is, I can drive, so I can get out, and we do have one bus a week. Well, I'm saying one bus a week. No, we have bus on a Tuesday, which goes shopping in Penrith, and there's also a bus on a Saturday, which comes up, I think, three times a day in the day. It comes from Penrith up here, and then goes up to Shap, back here, and then back into Penrith. And it does that three times a day.
Is it very
well used? No, not really. Not on a Saturday. On a Tuesday it is well used. On a Tuesday. But, of course, I mean, there's only five of us in the village now. Gina uses it. Gina Harrison there at number 66. She uses it every Tuesday. She goes shopping to Penrith. But I'm afraid I just pop off when I want to, you know. When I can drive. Yes, they'll come up from maybe Penrith, and then they'll get off the bus here maybe and walk maybe round the lake, and then get on the bus back here at afternoon. But in summer, the bus goes up to the top of the lake, to the top of Mardal. So people get off up there, walk down here, catch the bus here maybe, and go back into Penrith or wherever. Yeah, we used to walk to chapel as well with all our kids and the mothers and that, and everybody used to be going to chapel rather than church in those days. As I say, it was a thriving community, and we always used to go to Morecambe once a year on the school trips. And when we set up from here, it used to be pouring down, and we got over Shap Fell, and it was lovely, the sunny, and take our picnics with us, and it was always Morecambe once a year. Mr. Longmire and Mrs. Longmire that lived in the bungalow up at Lakeview, yeah, they were
they used to go to the chapel,
and they were, well, if it hadn't been for them, I think it would have gone down a long time since. And yes, we used to go and help with the suppers when it was anniversary. Used to be on the Sunday, and on a Saturday night they always used to have singers and have a supper, and it always used to be full house, and we used to go and help, and we used to bake and make things and take them down, and it was all given voluntary, all the food and that. And people, quite a lot of people from up here, and of course there was the WI as well, which started in 1932, and a lot of people from up here, the women, they went to the WI as well.
Was there a separate Glen Bank?
No, just everybody went to Bampton, because we have a tablecloth which was embroidered by all the members going back years ago, and there's quite a lot of ladies' names on from up here that used to live up here, which we still have the tablecloth. And it's wonderful to think, you know, sort of going back how long the tablecloth is, and we don't really know, and we haven't quite found out yet. But saying that, it must have been from the 40s when people lived up here. The mission.
At
Bampton. At Bampton. Yes, yes, at Bampton, yes. Yes, at. Oh, I can't tell you that now. I can't really tell you when chapel closed. I'll have it in my scrapbook somewhere. The mission, the mission in the wood, just as you come into the village on your left, through the little wicket. I think it would be 1940 when that wood closed, because George's mother was presented with a clock, and she was also presented with a Bible and also a little hymn book, which we still have, with her name in and who presented it to her. It was the advisory committee, and it was from the Sunday school, was the Bible. As she used to go and teach the children, Sunday school teach children, and she also used to play the organ in the mission. So it was a little thriving place as well, because it was for all religions, was the mission. But that was taken down before we came up here. And it is now the dance hall at Firmier, is the mission.
Did they have visiting ministers?
They had, yes, yes. Because you see, in those days, there would be all sorts of, with it being all sorts of religions, you see, there would be different people from the Methodist, and there would be the Church of England, and I don't know who else really. But George and Jeff would go to the Sunday school there, you see. Because you see, they were born, Jeff was born in 1933 and George in 1934. So, of course, you see, they would go with Mum to Sunday school here and all the other kids. And they used to have other things going on in there as well. It wasn't just Sunday school, you see. There would be services, and there would probably be singers would come. And I don't really know whether. The pantomimes and that would be more in the village, in the recreation hall up here, and the dances and that.
When did that come to?
Well, I should think. Well, I'm not quite sure. I can't be sure on that. I think maybe somebody else might be able to tell you that more. Maybe it was before I came here. But the canteen is the dance hall at Eamon Bridge. And the dance hall went to Clibborn. And only just last couple of years, the dance hall was taken down at Clibborn. And they got the lottery money, you know, and they've rebuilt a new one. So that came from up here as well. So, I mean, they made use of the buildings. I'm not sure what happened about the houses, where the houses went. I don't know whether they were just dismantled and went for scrap, or I can't really tell you about.
Some of them must have not been up very long.
No. 1929 they started building up the houses up here. And then, see, it was 1943, when George's mum moved out of the woods up there, down into this house here. I still have rent books anyway when they moved. I've got the year on the rent books and put in the drawer there, so I mean I could tell by that really, but so they would start taking those down when they moved out. And the village shop. And I mean, of course, there was the doctor's surgery up here, and there was the clinic up here as well. The doctor used to come from Shap once a week to the when it was clinic day and that. And then the district nurse Southwade, she came from Bampton. She used to live in the council houses at Bampton, where on night view there, Nurse Southwade. Yeah, she was the nurse that used to. I can't tell you that now because it would be before I came up here. And also the clinic wasn't there then either. And also they say there wasn't the clinic days and that. Everything was at Bampton when we came up here.